I think I kind of need to. All right, go ahead. You good? We good?
All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Yo, it's the Gentleman's Guide Podcast, where we seek to unpack manhood one day at a time. We back at with another episode, hot topic, man. It's going to be a good conversation we got today. What we talk about today, Sadie, man?
Oh, man, it's at the, like you said, man, I think it's going to be a dope conversation, man. What we're going to dive into is really what the previous generation family in the Black community, what did they value most? Mm-hmm. What did they cherish most? And unpack that. And that is going to lead into even deeper conversation where you and I generation come into play, man. So I'm really excited about this. I'm really want to, you know, pick your brain on it, man. You know, cause our family are, you know, very similar in many different ways. So, I'm definitely intrigued to see how you think about it and, you know, how you feel about it.
Yeah. So just to get it started and just to preface before we kind of dive into the nooks and crannies of the conversation, for the folks who really don't know who we are and where we from, just to give y'all context, we yeah. both grew up in the South. We got ties, you know, we got some family up North, but we primarily grew up down South in North Carolina. We both essentially grew up in the Black church, community. Me specifically, I grew up in a family church where my grandfather was the pastor the majority of my life. Mm-hmm. My brother kind of took over at some point. And that's a whole nother conversation, but just to give y'all context and you can kind of further explain your specific personal, perspective.
And
but just give the people context who's listening and watching.
Very similar. Yeah. Very similar. My family, you know, most of my family is in New York, but I grew up primarily in the South. So, right. you know, back and forth between, you know, North Carolina and North Carolina and New York.
Yeah.
My family is originally from Tarboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
Princeville, to be more specific, for the individuals that know Edgecombe County. So, you know, deep roots, in the South, man. Very, very familiar with a lot of things with when it comes to, I guess, Black
familiar traditions, I would say, so to speak.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going.
Generational sort of.
Yeah, generational traditions.
Yeah, norms. Essentially the same thing. Yeah.
So I think that, you know, leading into that is probably where we're gonna get into the conversation at, you know, based upon your, I guess, you know, childhood, mm-hmm. you know, what were some of the things that, you know, your family was, you know, high praise on, you know, put forth as a priority, and so forth.
The priority, it was certainly, you know, God first, family, mm-hmm. everything else is after family. What we were taught growing up was God ordained the family first. You know, it was God, family, and then whatever institution you want to put in below that. Some people put sports, whatever, whether it be baseball, football. Some people put, you know, other institutions such as the actual business of church, because some people, they love that aspect of it. Growing up, I mean, it was certainly God first, family. Right under there, and then, you know, you kind of get your basic morals and principles of life from the structure of the church.
Got it. What were some of the basic principles and morals that, you know, you stood on, that your family, you know, stood on?
I would say it's one thing that sticks with me, and this is really a testament to my mother, my grandfather, my grandmother. Pray without ceasing. And this is, and everything is up to interpretation when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to religion. For me personally, how I interpret that, because pray without ceasing, I'm not about to give you at what point in the Bible that is, because I'm not a Bible thumper. I don't read my Bible like that. This is Keep It Real. That's just, that's me. If Gerard was up here, I'd be like, hey, bro,
Gerard can tell you exactly
what verse You know what I'm saying? Jirai, that's who he is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Love my brother, man.
Yeah, love him, man. For me, I know Pray Without Ceasing specifically for me. And please, if you're watching, if you're listening right now, give us your interpretation, because, you know, perspective is everything. For me, yeah. I take that as whatever you have your mind set on. Obviously, you want to seek God in all that you do. That's one thing that I was taught. But also, pray without ceasing, meaning like I view that as a form of meditation, right?
Yeah.
So like when you, and I haven't studied other religions on a deep level, but what I do know is other religions, you know, you meditate. Some, and different religions may call it different things. Like my mom said, you know, she had a little prayer corner, you know what I'm saying? Or like the mothers in the church, or, you know, you got your prayer room, or like you got certain things that people did. But pray without ceasing, essentially, let me stop rambling, is to me a form of meditation. So like,
okay,
or what you say, manifestation, right?
Okay.
I do believe that we are all extensions of God, just like Jesus was. He was this, mm-hmm. He was God in the flesh, and we were made in His image. And so to me, there's a piece of God in all of us. And it's up to us to trust what you call, you know, the spirit, or I would say some form of intuition, you know, something that you don't even have to think about that's right or wrong. You just know. Like, how do you know things are right and something's wrong? That's an internal thing that I believe we all have inside of us. Now, obviously, things have to be nurtured over time, so you can gain more understanding. But pray without ceasing means like meditation. You are focusing your manifestation, your thoughts on a specific thing. You know, if people say, yeah, I'm praying for you, you know what I'm saying? You may say things out of your mouth, but you can also say that things in your spirit too. So that's like a form of meditation. You're meditating, you're focusing your energy toward this thing, whatever it may be.
So, you know, with those principles and morals, you know, who was the individual that instilled those principles and morals into the family, into, you know, you, well, into, you know, the family, then it trickled down from generation to generation.
Generation. Without a doubt, my grandfather. I mean, that's okay. I mean, you ask anybody in the community that we grew up, they knew him outside of the church. They knew him to be a pillar. He was a pillar of the community. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But for the family, yeah, he was the one that taught us hard work. When it comes to work, like, I don't mind getting dirty. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, is it my preference? Not really. You know what I'm saying? But I know what it is to do labor, to work in. We worked in the garden. He had animals. We would help him feed the animals. You know what I'm saying? We pull in watermelons. We picking corn. He grew everything.
Right.
Potatoes,
right.
Everything. So it was always something to do at grandma and granddaddy house, because he essentially lived off the land for the most part. Like, obviously, you know, he wasn't like off the grid or anything, but he, lot of his sustenance came from the work that he put in on the land. Yeah.
His own labor.
For sure. And we learned that.
So, you know, with that being said, you know, your foundation and family and morals that you now have, is now three generations prior.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
I'm two generations.
I say three because of your kids.
Oh, true.
The values and morals that your grandfather had is now three generations.
Exactly.
You know, removed from, you know, the beginning of that.
Yeah.
From what you know. So leading into today's conversation, what do you think has changed? What change has come from what your grandfather has taught you versus now?
So are you asking me from a personal standpoint, or just like a general generational standpoint, or like
generational? Let's talk generational now.
So I'm sure there are multiple things. The thing that I've seen, at least a lot on social media in the last 5 to 10 years, is a lot of millennials, or people born in mid 80s to mid 90s, like that threshold, those people are essentially us now. And we are all the folks who have kids and or young kids, I would say. I believe our generation, a lot has changed politically, and also when I say politically, I also mean a lot more people question everything now, right?
Yes. So yes, absolutely.
With questioning things in general, religion falls into one of those things,
right?
Because we are in the age of information, right? So like people question everything, even my seven and six year old. They are so much smarter than we were at that age.
Yeah.
Because the information is everything's at their fingertips. They're being fed all this stuff daily. You know what I'm saying? But what I think, I believe when people start to question, they go through the mental gymnastics of faith and religion, and how a lot of, and I even struggle, I've been struggling with this my whole life, in terms of you got to have faith, but I have a very logic-based mind, and I fight that with, it doesn't naturally line up with faith. Faith is like, you just believe because you believe. I'm like, it's hard for me to do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot of people in our generation who think similarly, somewhat similarly, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, you're doing all these mental gymnastics to rationalize certain things, not all things. Cause at a base level, I believe God is real. I believe Jesus was real. And I believe not every single story that happened in the Bible is 100% true, cause it's been translated from multiple languages over thousands of years. You know what I'm saying? And that's like playing phone. You know how that go. Mm-hmm. Certain details get put in, left out. Just like now when you're dealing with politics and age of information, people try to control the narrative with misinformation, certain things that may seem a certain way, people interpret it one way, and then it all gets flipped around and certain words mean different things. 10 years, like it's a whole bunch of confusion. So I feel like at the core, yes, Jesus existed, I believe, or the Messiah existed. I believe God is real. I believe we are all like extensions of God. And I know we probably didn't mean to go so deep into the religious aspect, but that's just the thoughts that are running through my brain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So I think one of the things, and that, you know, we can harp on, or, you know, really dive into, when we go back to, you know, the beginning of our family and, you know, like 3 and 4 generations prior, you know, what they established, you know, being a monarch, the monarchy of a family, and, you know, and, you know, starting that religion and tradition, you know, what are some of the things that, you know, they, you know, focused on and, you know, created and traditionally.
All right, I got you. Before we go too far, I got you. So it just clicked for me. Another thing that really has changed for our generation is access to what I call quote unquote McDonald's money. We ain't rich.
Okay. Right.
We ain't rich, but we doing much better than how we grew up. There's a lot of people our age who are doing way better than how they grew up. And with that, I believe it's like a subconscious of, all right, let's look at it on the flip side. When our grandparents were kids and going through Jim Crow and all these things,
barely survived.
They were in survival mode. Like we mentioned in the generational curses episode.
Right.
Y'all go check that out. But they were in survival mode. So the one thing that you could most of the time could cling to was God. And I'm not saying don't cling to God. What I'm saying is when you at your deepest, darkest moment and you don't see no way out, what else would you do but like cling to this thing that you can't necessarily see or feel? You know, it's not tangible, but you can believe in it because it gives you hope, because ain't no hope around you. You know what I'm saying?
So with that hope, where and when did most of the hope and that reigniting the hope, I'm sorry, when did that happen? And I don't want you to think about it, you know, too hard.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, majority of the time we're talking about, you know, being thriving in the church. We're talking about, you know, folk in 3 and 4 generations prior, you know, a lot of their time was spent in the church, mm-hmm. mostly on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think where we want to go with this conversation is with our generation. Well, I'm not even going to say our generation. Yeah. Well, yeah, our generation. We grew up having Sunday dinners where that realignment and that refocus in the family started. Mm-hmm. It generated to start that work
week. Start the new week. Yeah.
Start that new work week and to start that. And to reignite our focus, what it is that our ultimate goal is. So the topic of today, you know, now that we're giving you the you know, the folks at home a background of, you know, where we're going, the topic of our conversation is what happened to Sunday's dinner in a Black community.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
And I have a few ideas.
Go ahead.
Of you know, one, and I think it kind of really, you know, starts with one, what you were just talking about is, you know, those the grandfathers and the greats and the grandparents and the great grandparents are, you know, are no longer here.
They're dying off,
to hold the family together. So that's where one it started from, but at the same time, when they're, you know, leaving this earth, also comes a lot of the leaving their traditions that they started. And that's unfortunate sometimes, but at the same time, some of their traditions wasn't all the way, what's the word I'm looking for? Conducive to one's mental, maybe spiritual.
You're right.
Maybe it wasn't conducive to the mental.
Yeah.
And I think in our generation, what is happening is we're realizing that a lot of traditions and a lot of things and a lot of people is not conducive to our souls, but it was originated around Sunday dinner.
And religion and Sunday dinner, I would say, but kind of a combination of the two.
It's yes, but no.
Okay.
In my experience. Okay. So I think Sunday, how it was set up, you know, we'd go to church. My mom didn't go to the same church that she grew up in.
Cool.
We went to a different church. Mm-hmm. But after church service, you know, 1:30, we'd go to my grandmother's house. Mm-hmm. That's where we, you know, would gather.
Right.
As a family.
Yeah.
And, you know, like most families, you know, there's love and, you know, there can be some tension, you know, but no one ever talked about it. No one ever discussed it. No one ever, you know, but as you get older, you start to realize like, hey,
this ain't right.
This ain't right. There's less tension in the air, tension in the air. So, and then the more you realize, the more you see, Sunday dinner isn't what Sunday dinner used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Sunday dinner is now filled with anything but love in which it was generated from generations before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really the one aspect. Also, I think as we get older, we're becoming more conscious with who we are as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just, you know, piggyback on, you know, what we were just talking about. We're in tune with who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're in tune with, you know, what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
Even if
the wrong is coming from those that we love dearly.
Love dearly.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to Sunday's dinner. You know, a lot of things that we surrounded ourselves with was we gathered every Sunday.
Yeah.
Now, but if this gathering every Sunday is more hurtful than it is helpful,
mm-hmm.
what is one to do now that we're in a position to
fend for ourselves.
Make decisions.
So yeah.
Make decisions for ourselves.
Yeah. What I will say to your point when you brought up the mental aspect, going back to my first point or one of my first points about the age of information, with more information comes more language. And what I mean by that is we now have, as a community, we have language to call out certain things that may not be conducive to, you know, our mental being what it needs to be.
I had I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm just saying, like, therapy is not taboo anymore, right?
It's not. It's not.
Maybe to some, like, it's always going to be a spectrum, as I always say in life. Life is a spectrum. But generally speaking, our generation, I would say, is one of the first generations to, like, have language to kind of speak up for yourself, even if, you know,
it goes against the grain of what we were taught
when it comes from, because like I said, religion is religion, but also you gain a certain level of what's right and what's wrong that may not be somewhat spiritual or somewhat religious. It's just like, you know, respecting your elders and what the elders viewed as disrespect versus this generation. You know what I'm saying?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Calling
out is disrespect. It's like, nah, bro, this ain't disrespect. I'm just calling a spade a spade.
I'm so passionate about what you just said right now. I don't know if you can see it in my face.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm passionate about it because I have this debate. I literally just had this debate.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, where it's being stated, hey, you know what, you, I'm gonna paint the picture.
Sure. Go ahead. Story time.
yeah. If you don't, in the old generation, if you don't like or get along with a elder, then, you know, that's looked at as disrespect. You're disrespecting me. So the debate that I was having, you know, with a, you know, older generation was, hey, we're now in a place where respect is a two way street.
Exactly. I'm an adult now.
Not only am I an adult, it should have been when I was a child as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But at the same time, you know, it's a two way street. It's no longer, you know, what you're saying is disrespectful if I'm calling you out on something that's detrimental to me.
Right.
If I'm telling you, hey, you know what you're saying to me is it makes me feel some type of way. That's not disrespect to you. That's in the hindsight, respecting me.
Right. Yeah.
I'm demanding respect for myself by not allowing you to talk to me any type of way. Yeah.
You may not be aware of it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying anything disrespectful. I'm just saying I respect myself enough to let you know that that's not okay.
Right.
But the older generation, what they would do is they would expect the younger generation to stand there and take it. And if they spoke out on it, they would condemn them for it.
Yeah. How dare you, you know?
How dare you speak back on me?
Yeah.
How dare you tell me that I can't say this? How dare you do this when, in actuality, hey, I'm just telling you that something you're saying is hurting me. You know, it sounds crazy to say, but it's not.
But you know what it all goes back to? Accountability.
And a lot of generations before don't know what accountability is.
Yeah.
So go back to the Sunday dinner. You know, now we're at Sunday dinner and we're seeing all this, and we're seeing, you know, auntie say, wait your turn. You can't eat right now. Go sit over there. You're 20 years old. Go sit over there with the kids. Don't talk out of turn. Hey, whoa, I'm 20. I'm 25. What do you mean? I don't want to be around this. Now I'm in a position where, you know, I can make decision on my own. And if that decision just so happens to be at my peace,
hey,
I'm gonna take that any day.
Protect your peace, bro.
You know.
Now, me personally, I'm sure there were things, there's always like when you're a kid, things, a lot of things go over your head. So things may have happened where I'm just in my own world because you're a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
The transition from childhood to adulthood for me and my brothers, speaking of like Sunday dinner, like growing up, that was the thing for us. Like, go to church, everybody meet up at Grandma Granetti house, and all my aunties and uncles, and we eat. You know what I'm saying? It was essentially a family church. It was some folks there that weren't blood relatives, but the majority of us were all family, right?
So I came quite a few times.
Yeah, for sure. Because we usually had a cookout back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
My point was, going from childhood to adulthood for us, our personal story, or at least I can speak from my perspective, the transition happened gradually as we grew up. So like the older we got, by the time I was graduating high school, we had just built a new building. And that transition, it moved from my grandma and granddaddy house, and the Sunday dinner would be at the church every Sunday. So that was that was the first transition. And mm-hmm. all my aunties and uncles and brothers can vouch for this. I'm not making this up. But that was the first transition. Second transition was when my grandfather died.
Okay.
And I say that because since his passing, my grandmother's health just slowly started to get worse and worse and worse. Just over time. There wasn't like a punch
or a sudden
thing. It was just one thing started happening and one thing started happening, and before you know it, she had to be, you know, in a home because nobody could take care of her. Like, nobody could go to work and do this and take care of the kids and take care of her. It was just not feasible. She was in a home. She was out there in Wilson for a little bit. Now she's been away from us. It's been a little over a year now. She passed away on Thanksgiving of 2022.
It was 22.
Cause we're in 24 now, 23. Yeah. Thanksgiving 2022. I'm about to get emotional now. But, after that, by the time she was in the nursing home, it was essentially kind of non-existent. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Sunday dinner.
Yeah. Sunday dinner was non-existent. Not because anything crazy happened with regards to like familial dynamics. It was more so, it's just the dynamics
changed. The glue to the family no longer is here.
Well, I wouldn't even say that because our family remains close. Like, even during the pandemic, we would have family Zoom calls, bro, just to talk.
Yeah.
Okay. So our family remained close, but the tradition of Sunday dinner just it was never the same once those two patriarch, once they left, things in terms of Sunday dinner just changed. So that was my side of that conversation, my personal side of that conversation. I won't say natural, but it was just, you see a dynamic or a phase of life changing in real time. He's like, dang, this ain't what it used to be. You know what I'm saying? Now, like you said, like you were saying earlier, everybody got their different reasons or like things happen in the family and dynamics change for a lot of different reasons.
Dynamics change. Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what happened with us. You know what I'm saying?
I also want to, you know, give a different perspective as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, you know, is actually that I've been seeing a lot more of. Where our generation is no longer looking at the past generations to continue what they've done in the past because it either stopped or it wasn't beneficial for whatever.
Yeah.
So instead of collaborating or being with the, older generation, what we're doing, we're with our peers now. And we're creating our own traditions.
For sure.
We're creating our own Sunday dinners. We're creating our own
Friendsgiving is a thing now.
it's a huge thing,
right?
And I think what we're doing, we miss that.
Mm-hmm.
We wholeheartedly, our generation misses being part of, but we don't miss it enough to put ourselves through, you know,
dysfunction.
Things that dysfunction. Yeah. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
So instead, we create our own traditions. You know, I remember a few summers ago, QP yeah. was having Sunday dinner every Sunday.
Word.
You know, and it very different from our
how you grew up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very different from.
But nonetheless, you had a little
drink. You know?
Grandma
didn't want none of that in her house.
Nah, granddaddy, he ain't missing no alcohol. He said he was done with that. He,
you know,
he's like, nah. His little, he tell but, people he I used to drink two pints in 8 hours. That was he said. Yeah. I kids he gave it up years ago.
Yeah. Before
he,
now, you know, now my granddaddy
gave his life to the Lord.
He keep his recliner chair. Yeah,
little stash.
You got that little crease in your recliner right there. That's where he kept his little pint at.
Little pint, yeah.
But you know, grandma didn't want. If it wasn't grandpa, you won't bring no alcohol. But anyway, I say all that to say, you know, Sunday's dinner at QP house is completely different from Sunday dinner that we grew up in.
For sure.
But what we're doing is we're with our generation.
You're communing,
our peers,
man. You're communing,
and we're communing. We're breaking bread. We're with our cousins.
Yeah.
We may not be with our aunts and uncles.
Yeah.
But we're with our cousins. We're creating our own traditions. You know, we're with our friends that is family.
Yep.
You know, and we're creating our own traditions. And you know, we're going through that. I say we, but I don't know who else out there may feel this way, but if it's not for you, family or not, don't go.
Yeah.
Create your own.
Yeah.
And try to have open dialect and communication with the older generation. They're those aunties that just don't get it. You know, why you don't want to be around them. You gotta have those conversations.
It's okay to love people from a distance, man.
It's super okay.
But
I also think the generation thinks it's so disrespectful for not wanting to deal with them.
Yeah.
When y'all have created such, y'all have lived in such dysfunction for so long and don't understand this dysfunction is wild.
Yeah, it's a bit baffling sometimes. Yeah. And again, but, like this is not bashing the previous generation.
No, absolutely not.
It's more so like
realization.
Say it again.
It's realization.
Yeah, realization, man. Like the light bulb going off, and I'm trying to bring you to a realization. Like, yo, this has been happening for a long time, and I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just kind of giving a general explanation.
Very general.
Like this is what it is. I'm going to lay it out for you. This is how it makes me feel. Blah, 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 blah. And if I've seen countless times where the older person in that situation, they'll take offense. Even if it's not disrespectful, but sometimes you speaking your truth may indirectly come
trigger.
may trigger, you know, a point in time in their life where they may not have been their best. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my brothers, we've had conversations with our dad, and he's kind of, like I said, taking accountability for things he may not have done the best. Just like when I was talking about that conversation with Wesley the other day, like as your father, I got to show you that it's okay to take accountability. Like mm-hmm. I can own up to something that may have caused you, you know, a heartache or pain or sadness or whatever. I can own up to that because in essence, I'm indirectly showing you that it's okay to admit when you're wrong, bro. And that's going back to the generational curses. That's one way to break generational curses is to practice what you preach.
I was having a conversation with somebody older, of course. And the conversation went a little something like this. She's telling me a story. And the story was, he had a friend.
Mm-hmm.
There was a friend, and this friend's mom got drunk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. And you're talking about in the 70s and 80s. Friend's mom got drunk all the time. And when she got drunk, she, you know, she was close enough to, she would go down to the bar close enough to walk home, right? But when she got drunk, she would say mean, vile, evil things to him.
I've heard stories like evil, this from evil friends of mine. Things.
Yeah. And but only thing he could do is just go down there, bring her home, let her sleep it off. When she woke up, she didn't remember any of the words she said.
Yeah.
Or anything. So my response to that was, hey, you know, that's not normal.
Yeah, it's not okay.
That's not normal. And the response to that was, well, that's your mom. That's his mom. I said, well, title or not, if you make me feel some type of way, you know, because of that, if you're telling me you hate me, you wish I wasn't your son when you're drunk.
That means you, where are these thoughts coming from?
Where
deep down, so like something from like what?
But then when you're sober, you don't remember it, and then this is a constant thing over and over again.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to make up in your mind that I can no longer do this.
I can't put myself. The
rebuttal to that was, well, if something was to happen to her, what if she wasn't making home? I then said, hey, if you love me like you say you do, when you're not drunk. And I tell you what you're saying is hurting me, but you continue to do this thing, I can't be liable for anything because now I have to put myself first.
I gotta protect myself. Yeah.
I think, and this is just my opinion, I think that the older generation was so worried about what if something negative was to happen, and they felt responsible for those things, that they never got outside their comfort zone of small towns and a lot of family members stayed home,
but,
or they didn't take advantage of opportunities. Yeah. Or they didn't go away to college.
You just triggered something in me.
Because of the trauma in which they had to stay home and watch over their parents, which would have been our grandparents
or their siblings.
Look,
listen. You talking about, look, that piece that you just mentioned, that's a piece of my grandfather's childhood, bro. He was the oldest son.
Mm-hmm.
So he was born in 1939, bro. So I think
he had to take care of the family.
When he came to a certain age, he couldn't go to school no more. I think he had at most, I want to say eighth grade. I could be giving him a few more grades than what he actually, but. Yeah, he never went to high school. He never went, like, he was the oldest son. He had to go to work. You know what I'm saying?
So real quick,
I want to go a little bit.
Okay, yeah, further. No, for sure. Do your thing.
No, I'm just want to mention this last little tidbit. But going back to the general conversation, that was my grandfather's, part of my grandfather's story. But the general conversation is survival. Who do you need for survival? Your family, bro.
Yeah.
So when you need something for survival, you get used to putting up with dysfunction because you're in survival mode.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's the perfect recipe for passing down generational curses. You see what I'm saying? Because it starts out as, I need this person for survival, right? And then these actions that you do all the time,
you put up with,
and then once you have kids, your kids may not have seen the trauma that you went through, but they see your actions. So those behaviors are passed down. That's how it happens, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it happens. So even furthermore, I know you about to, my brain keep going.
No, go do your thing, bro.
But even furthermore, when people say, you know, generational trauma, that's essentially how generational trauma is passed down, right? You put your kids are carrying the weight. Like a lot of us black people, descendants of Americans, of African slaves that were taken from their homes in Africa, we indirectly carry the weight of the trauma that our ancestors went through because of the actions that happened after the trauma was experienced. You see what I'm saying? So like,
right.
And there's an actual scientific component to that, but I can't speak to that because I ain't no scientist. But in terms of nature versus nurture, like all these behaviors, whatever they may be, good or bad, are passed down indirectly. But go ahead.
I said this earlier, but you're three generations removed. No, you're one generation removed from survival.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your grandfather, born in 1939, had to drop out and survive.
Yeah.
The oldest of all his siblings, survival.
Well, so, he was the oldest son. He wasn't. Oh. Wait. Dang, I'm losing track. It was a few of them. But go ahead.
So that survival,
mm-hmm.
that passed down to your dad and, you know, your parents.
Mm-hmm.
They survived, but they started to build.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me. You took what you learned, the survival. Mm-hmm. Now you're building on what they built. And your kids are now able to receive everything that you survived, built, and built on.
Mm-hmm.
So only thing they got to do is take off. So you're one generation from survival.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is crazy when you don't have to live in survival, when you don't have to live in trauma, when you don't have to live in dysfunction, mm-hmm. when you don't, and you know, we our generation, you and I, have to live through that. So now we're it goes back to what I'm saying, you know, we don't want to be around that dysfunction on Sunday dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We're
making general statements, guys.
General statements, right. But I don't think that's the only thing that has contributed to, you know, Sunday dinner. Sure. I think also a different aspect of it is also being able to we're tired. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, my grandmother was a stay-at-home grandmother. You know, or she was retired.
My grandmother never drove, bro. I never saw her drive a day in her life.
So, you know, she was able to, you know, take care of the family as well as, you know, cook Sunday dinner well before church.
Yeah.
Well before church.
Chicken done before church.
Before 10 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
And, but now, you know, we have so many things that we have to do, you know, take care of.
Yeah.
You know, grandparents are getting younger.
Mm-hmm.
And most
households, both parents have to work, bro, to have a somewhat comfortable life.
So, you know, a lot of times on weekends, you know, you're not in the mood to cook a big, ginormous dinner.
Mm-hmm.
For 10, 15 people.
Yeah.
Because you just worked.
Listen, bro.
40, 50, 60 hours.
We was
going, and they did this every Sunday. Bro,
ain't no way. Look, me and Gab, we had a Super Bowl party planned. We were going to invite someone.
I was coming.
We were going to, you know, we had family coming over. We had friends. We had quite a few people coming over.
Yes, sir.
About a week before, I said, Gab, I ain't up for it.
She
felt the same way because she's a great host. Don't get me wrong, but she does not really care to host.
Mm.
If that makes sense, because when you host stuff at your house, you gotta maintain the house,
bruh.
I know you know because I know you host, but like when these niggas leave your house,
y'all,
bruh.
Y'all know I be
cleaning
hosting.
Up.
You gotta clean up.
Make sure your little cousins ain't tearing up your house. You gotta answer all these questions. Where's this? Ooh, where's the Wi-Fi? What is it? I'm like, and don't get me wrong. I love my family. I love my friends. But the act of being a host, like some people love it. I love
hosting.
Like my sister, my sister-in-law, she loves hosting. Like it's just, she loves like being hospitable. Like some people are just really? Like, yeah, she's naturally like just gifted at
certain things. I don't know why I say that. I don't know why I say that.
Bro,
I don't know.
You know, and don't get me wrong. Yeah. Just because you're good at something don't mean you like it. Like Gab is good at it, but it takes a lot out of her because she's such an introvert. Socially, it's like her social media goes up real fast, and it's like I don't. When people leave, she's like, I don't want to talk. Just leave me alone.
I love hosting. I'm a social individual. I can work a room like no other.
Yeah,
but
it's different when it's your house, though.
But go ahead. Bro, go ahead. I've hosted. I don't mind hosting. Yeah, you're right. Right. You know, I always tell y'all to come.
Yeah, for sure.
But think about it like this: every Sunday.
That's a lot, man. That's crazy.
Hosting Sunday dinner at your house.
Mm-hmm.
Every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how my grandmother did it. Yep. I don't tip my hat off to her, my grandparents. Tip my hat off to her.
Now, it wasn't like for us, it was we had multiple contributors. Like, you know, my mom would bring something, auntie would bring something. My grandma would cook multiple things, no doubt. But
I don't remember. I don't.
It wasn't like it wasn't just my grandma cooking all the time.
I think we did bring my mom. I think my mom did bring stuff, you know, every once in a while. But for the most part, when we got there, we got there about 2:30. Church is out by 1:30. Mm-hmm. You know how after church thing go.
Yeah, me in the parking lot talking.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
So get to my grandmother's house about 2:30. We eat about 3 o'clock. About 3 o'clock. So it wasn't shortly after. So, you know, they'll cook the hot stuff. They'll cook stuff that need to be like cornbread. They cook the cornbread fresh hot.
Yeah. Stuff that
they fry some
long.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. For the most part, we just got there and ate.
Yeah.
Meaning my grandmother cooked most of it. But I would love to do something, you know, a little bit more traditional, man. You know, get back to you know, the original topic. I would like to do something.
Get
something in place, man.
I'll be open to
because,
it, too.
Because, you know, we're coming to a place where, you know, like you said earlier, you know, grandparents are, you know, leaving us. You know, our parents are getting older.
Yeah.
So, you know, tradition now falling on us, man. So. I would like to do it. I think it just, you know, we're just in a place, like you said, you know, it's expensive. It's expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Sunday dinner every Sunday, it's expensive.
Every Sunday, probably. And to that point, what I will say, and I had this conversation with my mother-in-law because her family came from Jamaica. They have deep roots in Jamaica. Gab's mom's side, so her grandmother's side of the family are from the country in Jamaica. And I remember having a conversation with her, and I won't get, like, it's personal conversation, I'm gonna get into the nooks and crannies, but essentially,
for sure.
What I was saying was telling her, because she was kind of not heartbroken, but kind of sad about, like, oh, her grandkids won't experience Jamaica the same way she did. Because of things that I would not mention on camera, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I told her, I was like, just because they don't have the same identical experience as you, doesn't mean that their current experience is not special to them, right? So my point is, you mentioning, you know, every Sunday is too much, because you're probably right. In this day and time, it probably is too much, unless, you know what I'm saying, you got the bandwidth, you got the money. Like in your case, both y'all working. In my case, we both working. Like, we ain't got the time. Plus, we got three little kids, bro. Like, I don't understand, like, how that transpired back then from an adult standpoint. But my point is, just because it's not identical doesn't mean what we can do now wouldn't be as special and as meaningful. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's, you know, through the guise of, you know, religion, or whether it's just for the sake of communing with your kinfolk, whether it's blood or not, I think that's still will always be meaningful. Breaking bread is always the greatest form of love, greatest form of community with not necessarily all like-minded individuals, because we always going to have different perspectives because we're not a monolith. But understanding perspective, because I think that's
I like important. That word, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. That was a good. Hey, wait. I like that word.
That's the NC State education, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
No, but I think that's kind of a good point to end it on. Like, because we don't want to keep y'all too long. Sound like my granddad. My granddad say when he was preaching, he was like, I'm coming in. 45 minutes later. I'm coming in. God, come on, granddaddy. God.
Hey, long way. Gotta wrap this up,
baby. Come on, man. Dry switched it up. He was good. Dry was good with his times. My granddaddy, he would log. Some days he'll cut it. But someday he start feeling something, he just get to talking, bro.
Come on now.
And you can see, look, and you know when people frustrated because my daddy could control his face. All his emotions on his face. He's like, it's Disney. But anyway, my point is, it's breaking bread will always be meaningful.
It's always beautiful.
Whether it's every Sunday, whether it's every other Sunday, whether it's once a month, I think it's still something that families, friends, groups, whatever, that's a tradition that, you know, we all can have some version of, and I think it's still important. Go ahead, bro.
I don't want to add to what you just said. First I want to address, you know, direct this towards like the older generation. What we said was not a, you know, direct attack on the older generation.
For sure.
You didn't know what you didn't know back then.
Right.
And, you know, you went through certain things that you know, may not see as an issue.
Yeah. But two things can be true. Your perspective
can
be.
Two things can be true.
And we can all, you know.
So, you know, that's the first thing. The second thing I want to do, secondly, as well as, you know, directed towards them is to say, hey, you know, we want to come to Sunday dinner. We miss Sunday dinner. It's just, and what capacity is that going to be? And, you know, thirdly, I just want to say to, you know, our generation, it's just figure out what works for you, man.
Yep.
You know, we gotta carry the torch from for our kids, from our parents, our grandparents. You know, we gotta carry the torch forward. So, you know, I think it's important for us to start thinking about and having those conversations with, you know, one, ourselves, and two, you know, our loved ones and kids, and you know what they see fit, you know, for how we want to create a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Do we feel like, you know, bringing traditions in from, you know, past generation then, or do we feel like creating new ones, and really communicate that across the family? You know, my dad said something to me the other day that's really been sticking to me. He said, you know, you don't want to not know who your family is. The more individuals start to pass away,
and the more kids you have,
the more kids they have, then it starts to get divided.
Yeah.
So, you know, really, we got to do a better job at that, you know. And I know we all are, you know, caught up on everyday life. And life was so, you know, life comes at you fast. So
life be lifing, bro. That's
I think fast. Those are, you know, three things I want to end, you know, the today's topic on, man. And this is so dope, and you know, it was on my heart to have this, you know, what happened to family Sunday dinner conversation, you know, because like you said, you know, life is short, and you know,
because I'll be telling my boy, but
there's so many rich traditions that we have that you know, it may not get picked up. So how do we keep those rich traditions going, but also incorporate, you know, newer versions of that?
For sure. 100% wholeheartedly agree. I was about to go on another spiel, but I was like, we good. I think we can end it on that. So appreciate y'all tuning into the Gentleman's Guide podcast. This is another very deep, meaningful conversation I think we needed to be had.
Yeah. And let us know, man. Let us know what y'all think, man. You know, we say it all the time. We're here for, you know, we're here to have conversations from our perspective, but also, you know, we're here for y'all. So
yep.
We want to hear from y'all. We're very active, you know, in the comments, DMs, you know, let us know. Reach out to us.
All that,
man.
All right, man.
B, I appreciate you, man.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Appreciate you, you know, transparency and honesty, bro. You know, again, you know, another episode, man. Love you, brother.
Yeah, love you. Love you too, bro. Same to you, man. All right,
yes,
bro.
Yes, sir.
Gentleman's guy, we out. Appreciate
out.
You.
Out. Oh.